Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I have blood on my hands.
You are the senior litigating partner of one of the largest, most respected law firms in the world. You are a legend.
I'm an accomplice.
You're a manic depressive.
I am Shiva, the god of death.
Let's get out of Milwaukee. We'll talk about it.
Yes, as Michael Clayton suggests, let's get out of Milwaukee and back to New York, where manic depressives and other deities stalk the streets from Chinatown to the corridors of power in Park Avenue law firms. Michael Clayton there is not the only New York movie in theaters this fall, and we'll take a look at some of those films and talk about what the phrase means now, a New York movie, with our weekly guests for the month of October, film critics Dana Stevens of Slate and Entertainment Weekly film critic Owen Gleiberman. Thank you both for coming in one more time as the month comes to its too quick conclusion. Hello.
Hi, it's great to be here.
Hey, Brian.
And Owen, we missed you last week. Gene Seymour of Newsday did a good job pinch hitting. New York movie. What does the phrase invoke? Taxi Driver, Dog Day Afternoon. Owen, does Michael Clayton fit in with those iconic movies?
Well, I suppose it updates them. I mean, Michael Clayton is a terrific movie, and what it's really about is the flavor of corporate life now. I mean, there have been anti-corporate thrillers made for 30 years, but this movie really captures the cynicism of this era where profit has become everything. And it is a New York movie, and I suppose it's a New York movie for the era where there's a Bank of America on every corner. And in some ways, as good as it is, the movie can really make you nostalgic for that old New York, the pre-corporate New York, that I think so many people associate with movies and the movies of the 70s.
I don't know if there ever was a pre-corporate New York, unless you want to go back before the Dutch New Amsterdam Company. But Dana, where does this fit in with the iconic New York films?
Well, I think Owen's right in saying that New York as it is today probably feels a lot more like Michael Clayton, which is sort of the, you know, the soulless, glassy office buildings and the, you know, marble vast expanses. It doesn't feel like any particular city, and sadly that's more and more what Manhattan feels like now. But it certainly doesn't feel like the New York of the movies that we're used to.
It does manage to invoke a hidden world of moral hazard, but instead of the danger lurking in the movie Chinatown, which was the L.A. Chinatown in the Roman Polanski film, it's on Park Avenue and in the corporate world of mergers and white shoe law firms.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, Owen and I were talking about this earlier and saying that it's almost like there's a nostalgia going on at the movies now for a certain New York, right, that we might think of as the gritty 70s New York, not at all the New York, contemporary New York of Michael Clayton. But, of course, that New York was always a New York of the movies, as you point out, Brian. That New York was always a New York of the imagination, which is coming back in fashion now.
But it's amazing when you think about the fabled movies of the 70s that everyone gets nostalgic over. I mean, so many of them are New York movies. It really started with Midnight Cowboy. Then you have the films of Sidney Lumet, like Serpico or Dog Day Afternoon, The French Connection. Even The Godfather, taking place a few decades earlier, is a New York movie. And, of course, the poet of that era of New York was Scorsese, really the poet of the streets. And I think two things were going on with those movies. One is just the way they were shot, where even a Hollywood film crew could just kind of go out into the streets, and the crowds were real crowds, real people being used as extras. The famous scene in Midnight Cowboy where Ratso Rizzo is going, "I'm walking here." Well, you know, that was improvised. That was real traffic they were dealing with. At the same time, I think a thing that was played out in all those 70s movies is that if New York is now a city of rich people, back then it was the city of rich and poor and everybody in between. And it was in some ways a very stratified class society. And yet the New York streets were the great equalizer. That's where everyone came out to sort of fight it out in the jungle. You really see that in The French Connection, in that scene where Gene Hackman is the scruffy kind of lower class cop, is staking out the, you know, the high-class drug dealer at the fancy restaurant. And there was such a sense there that in the streets, they're all equal. And I think that there's a nostalgia for that because that New York of the movies of the 70s in some ways was the most democratic place in America.
And so one solution to maybe nostalgia for New York in the 1970s on film is to set your film in the 1970s. And that's what Ridley Scott does with American Gangster. Denzel Washington stars as a 70s Harlem heroin kingpin named Frank Lucas. Here's a clip.
Man I worked for had one of the biggest companies in New York City. He ran it for more than 50 years. 15 years. 8 months and 9 days. I was with him every day. I worked for him. I protected him. I looked after him. I learned from him. Bumpy was rich, but he wasn't white man rich. You see, he wasn't wealthy. He didn't own his own company. He thought he did, but he didn't. He just managed it. White man owned it, so they owned him. Nobody owns me, though.
Hey.
How you doing, baby?
Good.
That's because I own my own company, and my company sells a product that's better than the competition at a price that's lower than the competition.
Have you seen this one yet? It opens next week.
I have seen it, saw it just the other day.
And?
It's, well, I mean, I wouldn't say it completely coheres as a movie, but it's a fascinating long 2 hours and 40 minutes to sit through, and a great period reconstruction of exactly the New York that we're talking about from an angle that we don't often see it from, a Harlem gangster.
Was it filmed in the Harlem of 2007, do you know?
You know, I know parts of it were filmed on location, but in order to recreate a Harlem of the 70s that looked that perfect, there had to be some going off-site as well. Do you know, was some of it filmed in Toronto or elsewhere?
I'm not sure. I think at least some of it was filmed in New York, though. And I have to say that Ridley Scott, the director, does a pretty good job of recreating that 70s feel. And at the same, it's sort of ironic because they have to be very meticulous about it. I mean, the streets are all littered up. The projects really look like the projects. You have the sense of even how grungy the payphones are. So in terms of...
I remember noting the level of grime that he gets is just perfect. Every window, everything's sort of smeared and dusty.
Yeah, the grime is all there. And in terms of atmosphere and in certain ways in terms of storytelling, I think this is a good attempt to try to make a quote-unquote 1970s movie. At the same time, it's trying so hard to evoke movies like Serpico and The Godfather and even moving into a later era, Scarface, that I'm not sure it entirely succeeds in terms of the character. In particular, I feel like they're working so hard to make this Harlem drug dealer played by Denzel Washington an iconic Scarface character that they make him a little too iconic. He doesn't have any idiosyncrasies. Denzel Washington plays him almost like he's a senator or something. And I think one of the problems of the movie is that I never really felt, and they do this quite on purpose, but I never really felt that Denzel Washington was at all street, that he'd come up from the streets about once every half hour or so. He commits a cold-blooded execution to establish that he has the stones to be a gangster. But I never felt that quality erupted out of him the way it does in the chainsaw scene in Scarface or the various scenes in The Godfather where you really see these people acting like monsters. So I think there's something a little high concept about American Gangster. It's not a bad movie, but I don't think it's really I don't think they achieve the mythology they're going for.
We have put a page on our website for your favorite New York movies of all time, and some people are already posting there, having been on our site. So why don't you go? We'll read some of them on the air if they come in the next few minutes, and then you can continue through the day to post your favorite New York movies of all time and go there and see what other folks are posting. At WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. We already have... Pick any Woody Allen movie, and that would be my favorite New York City movie. No one can do it better. That's an obvious favorite for some. Then New York City, Desk Set, Tracy and Hepburn, Walter Lang, director, 1957, loved her apartment and the scene on the roof of the Newsweek building. So I would add, how about your favorite New York movie of the last 10 years? Since everybody does want to go back to old Woody Allen films or these other things from the 1970s, how about your favorite New York film of 10 years when you go to WNYC.org, last 10 years, and post there, WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. I want to mention, by the way, that... Leonard Lopez today will have Sidney Lumet with Ethan Hawke and Philip Seymour Hoffman all discussing the new film Before the Devil Knows You're Dead, which is one of the New York movies just coming out this fall. And another one, let's see, that takes a different tack is We Own the Night, which is set in Brighton Beach, where a police officer tries to enlist his black sheep brother to help him keep tabs on a gangster. Here's a clip of We Own the Night.
You want me to inform?
No.
Are you kidding me?
Just observe, that's all. It's a closed community. You're our only way in right now.
Why is this my problem?
Well, the whole city's falling apart. Don't you have any sense of responsibility at all?
Let me think. No.
We Own the Night. See it?
No, I have to bounce this one to Owen because I haven't seen it. But I do have something to say about the Sidney Lumet. Night.
Yeah.
I did see We Own the Night. There's an interesting thing that goes on in that movie, which is Joaquin Phoenix plays the manager. It takes place in the late 80s, that sort of decadent party culture. And Joaquin Phoenix plays the manager of a big nightclub that they built in a movie theater. And his dream is to open a nightclub in Manhattan. And in a way, it's not a... a coincidence that this is set out of Manhattan, because that's the area that at that point in the 80s had some of that old gritty New York feel. And to the extent that he wants to move into Manhattan, he wants to move at that point into the land of official culture. The subtext is almost that Manhattan has really lost that quality it had, where just anything can happen.
Do you think we'll see more crime thrillers set in the outer boroughs now?
Yeah, I think potentially, as you know, more people are moving away from the city. I mean, more people who aren't stockbrokers are moving out of Manhattan. I think it potentially opens up the other boroughs as likely settings.
We're even starting to see romantic comedy set in the outer boroughs now. I've seen a couple set in Brooklyn. I can't remember the titles of the ones in the last few years, but I think as Manhattan becomes more and more the sort of, you know, the business center and the wealthy center of Manhattan, you'll see Brooklyn pop up the way that Manhattan used to look in the old Woody Allen movies.
So I mentioned Sidney Lumet and a couple of the cast members coming on Leonard today for Before the Devil Knows You're Dead. We spoke about that one during your first visit since it was part of the New York Film Festival. But how does Sidney Lumet's New York in 2007 compared with his New York in 1975?
You know, that movie, Before the Devil Knows You're Dead, Sidney Lumet does something really amazing in terms of this 70s New York vibe we're talking about. He creates it through sheer sleight of hand. It's not a period movie. It's set in the present day. There's cell phones. There's various sort of bits of technology that remind you it's the present day. And there's no attempt to date the movie. And yet, it feels in spirit, just like one of those taxi drivers, mean streets. How does he do that?
I think that's right. Well, if I had to reduce the 70s movie culture down to one word, I would probably say realism. I think our movies have grown so unreal, and contemporary thrillers with all their fast cutting and kind of glossy cinematography, they have this air of being kind of stylized and punchy, and they're just vehicles for action sequences. Whereas Before the Devil Knows You're Dead, it is also set in this new corporate era. I think it's very much a zeitgeist movie. It's about the economic desperation that even people in New York who have decent apartments and stuff feel. That's the whole basis of it, that these two brothers go in on a plan to rip off their parents' jewelry store in Westchester because they feel so economically pinched. But I think the thing that Lumet brings to this film that reminds you, that really takes you back to the glory days of his filmmaking and things like Dog Day Afternoon, is the pace. He is willing to just plant his camera in a room and let the actors act and just capture the reality of what's going on, almost as if it was a play. At the same time, there is a lot of visual dynamism to it, and I think it's his best film since Dog Day Afternoon. It opens tomorrow, and I'm really hoping it takes off.
Well, an interesting way, because the subject matter so much revisits Dog Day Afternoon, you get this unique chance of seeing a seasoned 83-year-old filmmaker go back and revisit his own movie. It's almost a remake of Dog Day Afternoon in some ways, both of them being about this kind of pitiful heist that's horribly pulled off.
Yeah, and there's something, as there was with Dog Day, there's something so redemptive about seeing a movie about criminals who are real people. You don't watch them and go, oh yeah, they're movie criminals. You go, no, these are real people who decide to commit.
Right, they're not Scarface. They don't want to be Scarface.
Yeah, they decide to commit a crime, and in that sense, it's much scarier because on some level you go, well, that could be us.
And about 30 people have posted so far with their favorite all-time New York movies, and the winners seem to be The Warriors from 1979. A lot of people putting that one up. I don't even know that. I guess I should know that movie, but it doesn't quite ring a bell from the title. And The French Connection, Hitchcock's The Wrong Man, When Harry Met Sally, and a couple of people posting My Dinner with Andre. What's The Warriors?
Well, The Warriors was a youth gang movie that really had quite a moment in the late 70s. I believe it opened in 1979. It's about this gang of youths, although one of the camp qualities of the movie is that, you know, you can tell they were sort of written as black, but they're a multiracial gang, but the leader is white. If it had been made by a more enlightened Hollywood, it would have been about a black street gang. But anyway, they're trying to make their way across the city as all these gangs are attacking them. But it's a very stylized movie. In some ways, it really represented the end of 70s film culture and the beginning of the stylized 80s all-action, all-the-time movie culture. But it was quite a big movie at its time.
And Dana, When Harry Met Sally being up there a couple of times reminds me that not all New York movies are crime thrillers. So New York, I guess, can signify the funny and the romantic as well as the scary and the intense.
Yeah, that's a cinematic New York we haven't discussed today, but that would be a whole great show in itself, the New York of romantic comedy, which is, you know, has also been revived and is at its height now since the Sex and the City era. It's sort of the default setting for romantic comedies on film now.
You know, chick flicks are kind of dying out. Have you noticed? You don't really see many of them anymore, but they had a heyday for about 15 years, and I would say the contemporary romantic comedy whatever you think of this, was more or less invented by Nora Ephron with When Harry Met Sally and then Sleepless in Seattle and You've Got Mail. And in a way, those movies, so many of them were set in the new New York, the one that, you know, represented the kind of Giuliani makeover. But now those movies have kind of faded out. And so it'll be interesting to see if a new kind of romantic comedy maybe does spring up in the outer boroughs.
A lot of people posting After Hours, The Squid and the Whale, 25th Hour. But what are we to think when Woody Allen is setting his films in London and L.A., Dana?
You know, I don't. That seems to be a matter of Woody Allen's own personal choice. I mean, he manages to film London as if it were New York, or make it sort of into his own interior New York in some way. There was a recent Woody Allen movie that, I guess it was Melinda and Melinda, one of his recent movies, that made me realize that as the Woody Allen sort of New York romantic comedy gets more and more extreme, the real estate gets more and more extreme. Their fantasies about real estate.
We'll have to leave it there. I've been speaking with film critics Dana Stevens of Slate and Entertainment Weekly's Owen Gleiberman each Thursday for this month of October. Thanks so much for being with us. This has been fun. People should recognize this.